This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome in to Gwen and Chris on this Tuesday afternoon. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello.
Oh, I meant to flip you off. I'm sorry. Anybody watching on the chat will explain it as we go along.
Welcome in.
Welcome in.
Matt Scraby along as well. Gwen and Chris, how are you guys today?
I'm in a good mood, Tony. My wife last night needed a... She's okay, so let's start there.
Okay.
She's perfectly fine. Bit of a false alarm, but got a little concerned about some swelling in the back of her knee. So much so that I spent the night in urgent care last night. Got home this morning just in time to go out and golf. And then had one of the best rounds of my life. I was hitting everything straight. Balls were dropping on the green, so I'm feeling good.
What'd you shoot?
83, which for me is a hell of a day.
How many bogeys?
Well, I think I officially had 9 pars.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
11 bogeys, okay, and 2 doubles. And one of the doubles, because a drive I hit well, went a little too far and out of bounds. So I took a penalty shot there. But, yeah, I had a great day, and I couldn't believe it, but...
You definitely came in here with a little bounce to you.
A little bounce, yeah, that felt good, and, you know...
Did you notice that, Scrave? He came in with a little bounce.
Totally came in with a little bounce.
Yeah.
I asked the bogey golf thing.
He wasn't at your neck either, like he normally is.
No, usually he
walks in. But you also weren't antagonizing him as well.
That is true. That is true.
I didn't even say anything about bogey golf.
Cody
said I shot 83.
Cody says 9 pars, 11 bogeys, and 2 doubles. That's 22 holes.
Yeah. Thanks. 9 and 7 and 2. There you go.
There it is.
All I want to know is if that was a bogey golf score, if that was a real golf score.
No, it's 83.
Okay.
So 83
no
total shots,
yes,
to whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
It would have got much better if we would have did bogey golf.
That's
on
a
that.
Great day.
That's a fantastic day.
It's a good day, and thank you for helping me on my math. The only thing I keep track of, honestly, are pars and double bogeys. I don't. When I get a bogey, I just move along, so I didn't count those in my head. Because I don't keep score. We don't write it down. We're a weird
you just shoot. We're taking shots.
We take our shots. We keep it in our head a little bit. And,
see, that's
so
the
I
other
kind
weird
of where
thing.
I'm at. What? I can count to 4. It's not that tough.
Yeah, but it's like, how do you remember after the round, oh, yeah, on this hole I did this, on
well,
this hole
I don't
hole
add
I did
them
that.
All up at that
so
point.
Are you insinuating
is
that his score is a little
I am
faulty?
Not.
Yeah,
I
are
am
you
not.
Trying to...
Wait, is it common for people
no.
not to take score?
No.
No, it's not.
Okay, no. What you're saying is it's not common to not write the score down. I get that, but I do keep the score.
I'm not
so
doubting
If I get a par in my mind, and you're going to get mad, but in my mind, a par is 1 under.
See,
and if I get,
and if, go.
And then I go to the next hole, and if I get a bogey, I'm still 1 under. and so and so and so.
Actually, you're one over in that situation.
Exactly. But instead of telling myself the negative side of the score,
right.
I like to keep the bogey score, which makes me feel a little better. I finished minus seven to bogey golf, which would be a 90.
Right.
But I shot 83. In par golf, I shot plus 11. But 7-under sounds a whole lot more fun. A lot more fun, and so that's what I do. And if you don't like it, Charlie Hoffman said it was okay.
I don't.
If Charlie
would have
told me no, it's totally brutal, I would have stopped.
I think
Charlie Hoffman gave me his okay. He gave me his blessing.
I do recall he kind of
gave my blessing. He said that's okay. Yes, he did.
I remember him saying there was a fifth major, and then you guys still wouldn't believe me.
Charlie Hoffman says bogey golf is okay for our weekend duffers. It's all right with me.
So. We had some pretty explosive playoff games yesterday. We're going to get into those in a second. We also heard from John Seidler. It was basically a thank you letter to the fans, but it also...
Are people trying to read stuff into
it
this?
It also had some things that people are pulling out and kind of making assumptions, and I want to see what you guys thought. I mean, it seems that the part in particular that people are focused on is the second paragraph.
Why don't you read it for those who didn't see it, if you have it
the
there.
Whole thing or just the second paragraph?
Just the second paragraph. Yeah, just that.
While we may have made the postseason in four of the last 6 years and had two consecutive 90-win regular seasons for the first time in franchise history, we fell short of our goal to win a World Series championship. Our elimination in the wild card round was a disappointment and exposed areas where we must improve.
All right. And everybody took that
to
mean...
I'll tell you what people
and everybody took.
This.
No, I'm going to tell you what I read.
Okay.
People took that to mean that A.J. Preller should pack his bags. I don't really see
Mike
that.
Schill.
I was about to say, I think it's both.
And Mike Schill.
Yeah.
Well, I disagree.
I do, too.
I mean, I don't know John Seidler, so first of all, it's almost impossible for me to completely discern what he's thinking.
Right.
But nowhere in there does it say we need to make some changes in personnel. It says we need to improve some things. They need better hitting. But who's gonna do a better job of getting them better hitting than A.J. is likely to do? I mean, I'm asking the question before you go ahead and pull the trigger on something. Right. Right? You're going to have to find somebody who's going to come in with a budget, with a lot of contracts locked in for many years, and have to be creative to find a way to add slugging to this team. And correct me if I'm wrong, Tony, but slugging is the most expensive thing to buy.
It is indeed,
right? So I believe, look, it's not that in A.J. Preller I trust everything. I just don't know who you're going to get a better job than he's done to try to fix what didn't work this year. But that's, that's my thinking.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I concur. Scraby, you got something?
Oh, I agree with you guys. I think there's an issue with the fact that Chris said, he knows nothing about John Seidler. I've never even seen the guy speak. I don't even know what his voice sounds like. So when he sends something like this, and there's a part in it later where he says, the process of getting better will begin immediately as we perform a thorough review of our organization with an eye towards improving and winning our first World Series championship. I just have no idea what kind of guy he is, so I have no idea where I can go with this, just as Chris said. I think that he needs to speak to the Padres fans. I really do.
Well, that's
this
his way of doing it.
No, I think he needs to stand there, and he needs to...
Oh, goodness.
We need to hear...
Can he sit?
Yeah, he can sit. What I'm saying is that we need to get to know the guy who's behind the decisions that are going to be made for the future of the franchise. Not that it's really our choices or anything like that, but I would like to know what kind of guy he is. Is he a guy who wants to improve through firing and finding new people? Is he a guy who wants to improve by improving on what they already have? I have no idea.
I think it's a luxury for a fan base to know their owner. Right, we got.
In the case of the Colorado Rocky fans, they'd probably rather not know their own.
No, they keep packing his ballpark, though.
We were very fortunate to have someone like Peter that was
front and center,
accessible.
Yeah,
right. We could get to him. He would talk. I don't know. John may or may not decide to approach it that way. I mean, just the little bit I know of John, he's not type that really seems like he wants to be like out in the forefront. We'll find out. I could be absolutely wrong on that. But I think this is his way of talking to the fan base.
And if you break down that second paragraph and you are a fan out there.
Third paragraph. Really.
But what I want him to say is pretty much what he said. Yeah. I certainly don't want him to say, hey, we're pretty happy. We had another great year. We appreciate you fans coming out. We're going to do it again next year. I would much rather him say, we got some things to improve.
Yeah.
We got to do better. We got to get further. That's what I want to hear. I don't, you know, everyone wants, if you want to read into that, that people are getting fired, maybe they will, but I just don't read into that.
I agree with that. I agree with that for sure. I also don't think that he means that he's going to fire anyone or make huge, sweeping, altering changes. But I don't know, because I don't know anything about how he does things.
I prefer to be on the I don't know side, because...
I know you do.
You just don't know. You don't know how... I agree with both what you guys are saying.
Right.
I think it wouldn't be the best move, because I don't know anybody's going to do a better job.
I would always ask myself that before I, you know, look before you leap.
Right.
Make sure you've got some, before you walk out of that relationship, make sure you have a little line potentially on something else. I think that like any organization, I would certainly sit down. I'd bring everybody in. And, you know, I'd want to hear from Mike Schilt. I want to hear from AJ Preller. I want to hear what they think. But, you know, people are going to read into that. If word got out that Mike Schilt was going to meet with John Seidler or A.J. Preller was coming in, you know, people would run away with that.
Which is crazy, because
they do that
all the time.
I think that's a normal thing that you would do.
Yeah,
yeah, you want to hear from your guys.
It's like an exit interview. Right. It's very common for that. And I understand why you're saying that, Chris, because that's how we all take it, is like, uh-oh, they're meeting.
They got called into the principal's office.
Yeah.
Because anytime, you know, when I get called to Adam's office, it's always something bad, so I don't want to go.
Let me also just say this
ahead
of time.
I'm like so mad back there right now.
This I'll put on the record ahead of time. I believe if they don't bring back AJ Preller and or Mike Schilt, in my mind, both of them, I think it's going to be a big mistake. And they're going to have to prove, you know, to me otherwise.
Right.
But I must say it ahead of time. I don't think replacing AJ, you're going to find anybody who can do a better job doing what you want to do. You're certainly not going to find anybody I agree with more and receive money under the table more than from Mike Schilt. So I certainly want him to stay in. Mike, I will continue to compliment your every move. You keep the checks coming. But, I these guys, I think, have done a pretty good job. 90 wins back-to-back. It was disappointing. It stunk last year and this year. But, I mean, you know, to me, starting all over again isn't the answer.
No. I agree with that. They're too far in this process to just
start over. If that were to happen and someone new is coming in here, I feel pretty strongly that somebody's going to get... They're not going to look at the roster the same way AJ Preller looks at the roster. Meaning someone can get moved. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it could change everything.
Could change everything. So, I don't know. We're going to get the break. We're going to get out on time today. And when we come back, we're going to get to talk about some really good baseball in that Philly-Dodger game.
I hate to give the Dodgers credit for making a great play, but when you make one, I got to say so.
That's a baseball nerd-out
awesome.
Play.
Awesome.
And then the Brew Crew, man. The little college Brewer hitters are just hammering the Cubs right now. And it's been quite fun to watch, I must say. More Gwen and Chris on the
end. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hi, welcome back to 18. We're getting underway here. Full 4 hours today. We talk about why I came in with a bounce in my step, Tony. Just looking forward to spending 4 full hours with you guys. And
can't wait.
I know. And getting the stage set, of course, for the Scraby Chronicles, which come back tonight at 6 o'clock.
So. Yes, it's Scraby Show season, everyone.
Scraby Show season. Don't worry, everybody who listens after the show, Scraby will go around
the
and
Chronicles,
thank you.
The Chronicles went away for a little bit.
Yeah, yes, it was. I was telling someone over the weekend that I love doing Scraby Shows. During this part of the year, it's good, but once we hit January, we got no football to blow out the Scraby Show. I got to go 5 hours a day until baseball starts. That is a grind.
Yeah. Well, you got to follow the NBA a little bit. You got to keep up with
you're going to have to come over to the hardwood.
You
got to
keep up with who's in the league, who's retiring, and who's getting a new Hennessy sponsorship.
Thank you, Chris. That's right. That is one reason I will not be watching the NBA.
If you know, I mean, a lot of people, LeBron, I think, got hoodwinked on that one.
He fooled us.
I mean, LeBron James, and we'll get into it. I guess, are you putting in the big five or is
no?
That
I thought
be
we were going to talk about that.
You know, LeBron was going to make his another decision today.
The second decision.
People went
we
out.
We should have known better. Like he was.
I did know better.
You did.
Well, Adam Kluge knew better.
We
didn't. Yeah, we didn't know better because we just assumed he was going to announce at the end of the year he's retiring and that he didn't want a farewell tour, and so did a lot of ticket holders because people started paying like $1,000 for tickets for the final game of the season so they could be there.
Lakers are like, thank you, LeBron.
LeBron just stuck it to all of them. I'm going to have a new sponsorship for the, what is Hennessy? Scotch?
Hennessy,
I don't even know what it is.
It's cognac.
Never had it.
That's unbelievable that he did that.
That can't be a surprise.
You can't have Hennessy
stopped drinking
anymore.
When I had no money, there was zero chance of Hennessy.
I respect LeBron because you respect him so much, but this was hard for me to get behind.
We should have known better. We should have known.
All right, so you're going to blame us for this.
I am.
Okay, we're the dummies that fell for that. Okay.
Including me.
All right.
I heard him out of his own mouth say, you know, when I retire, I'm just going to retire. And instead, I believed.
You believed in this whole decision.
And that's my fault. That's stupid me.
You all have my my backing out there to never drink Hennessy again. I hope this blows up in their proverbial face. And
is
I
it
know
good?
Scraby does
too late.
Is it good? Hennessy?
Yeah, Hennessy's good.
Is it good?
I mean, it's very expensive, so.
It's a sipper.
No, I don't get behind
It's kind of like scotch, right? Scotch, you're supposed to sip. You're not really...
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, Scraby never got that memo.
I didn't know you're supposed to sip. I thought you're supposed to just keep taking shots of it.
Tony, Scraby thought the
scotch
quicker you...
have your stomach jacked up if you just...
Scraby went at the bottom of the barrel. All right, the baseball, by the way, playoffs today, game 3 between the Tigers and the Mariners in Detroit is still being delayed by rain, so... That one should be getting underway shortly.
Got a couple West Coast games. You don't have to worry about that.
Right.
You move back to the Midwest. Boom.
Little rain for you. The Yankees will be trying to stay alive later tonight against the Blue Jays. But for the games last night, I mean, I just hate the fact that all seems to be wonderfully, almost perfect in Dodger land.
Thank you for saying
that. All season long, it's been a battle. It's been a struggle. They haven't been able to get out of their own way. Their pitching has been a disaster. Everyone's been injured. Nobody's been available. And all of a sudden, Dave Roberts just has everything lined up to perfection. And even when he blows it by bringing in Blake Treinen, the Dodgers turn one of the best defensive bunt plays under the circumstances, Tony, you're ever going to see. I don't think the Phillies were expecting them to run that play. I think when was it Stott who put the bunt down?
Yeah.
I think the second he laid it down, he and everyone in the ballpark thought that's a perfect sacrifice. But Muncy was flying in from third base. Betts was covering over at third base, and Betts didn't make his move until really late, so that didn't give it away. And then if you look at the throw, Muncy hit Betts on the run like he was leading a receiver, and he caught it, made the tag, and I guess it would have all been for naught if Freddie Freeman doesn't dig out that throw as well at the end. But I hate when the Dodgers do something, Tony, but you know I love when a good baseball play wins a baseball game.
Yeah, I mean, I'll bring the example of the Padre game, right? Because similar situation, it was Bryce Johnson at the plate.
Mm-hmm.
The Cubs showed, first pitch, they showed a wheel play.
The wheel play, right.
Right?
Explain to everybody out there who doesn't know what it is, because we're talking about it like everybody should know.
Typically, a runner on second, there's you see the catcher come out, he gives some signs. This is bunt defense. So you really typically have two bunt defense. You got your standard bunt defense, runner on second, third baseman comes in, first baseman stays put.
Pitcher has to cover where the first baseman would be.
Right. Pitcher comes, third baseman and first baseman come in, second baseman covers first.
Right.
And you get the out at first.
So it's geared to make sure you get the out at first, and you let them kind of get the bunt down.
Right.
Or you roll the dice, and everybody's running. And if the guy swings the bat, you have nobody in position to defend at all.
And I'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
But that is the wheel play.
Yeah.
Both first baseman and third baseman crash. Shortstop comes to third.
Yeah.
But typically, you're not trying to disguise your shortstop because it's already a hard enough play.
Yes.
With him on the move getting
Betts
to third.
Betts was incredible. He ran it to perfection.
You just want him to get there to be able. In most cases, it's first and second, right? You can get a forced play. You don't have to tag.
Right.
In this case, it's just a runner second. So not only does he have to get there, he's got to catch it, and he's got to be able to put a tag down.
Man.
And so the counter to that, you kind of mentioned it, is a slash.
You swing
the
bat.
You show the bunt.
Yeah.
You pull back, and you try to hit it hard on the ground somewhere.
Anywhere, because there's no fielders.
There's so much field available.
Yeah, right.
And I go back to the Padre Cubs, where the Cubs showed Will the first pitch and then didn't do it the second. Bryce Johnson swung, fouled it off, swung through it. He ended up striking out in that at-bat.
Right.
They didn't move the runner. In this case, Stott, I'm sure as he bunted it and saw how it was playing out, he knew, damn, I probably should have slashed. Because they give the Dodgers a ton of credit. Not only does Muncy make a play. Was it Muncy or was it?
Yeah, it was Muncy.
Muncy picks it up.
Not known for amazing defense.
It wasn't a great throw. I mean, Betts picks it up, short hops, gets the tag down, and they're able to get the lead runner. The very next guy singled.
Which would have
tied the game.
Tied
the game. And so that is really two teams executing, but the counter would have been Stott pulling back.
But I think he didn't pull back and slash because Betts made his move so late that Stott didn't see it in time to recognize that he was going to go over and cover third.
I just
pulled
up.
There's so many little things at work here.
I had the high home up. early.
Yeah, here, I was going to say, I'm going to put it up on the stream. You can watch us on YouTube to search 97.3 The Fan. But here is the, if you're watching, here's the play.
Watch Betts, the shortstop behind the runner. He took off so late that I don't think Stott expected it.
Because the idea is you bunt it to third and you force the third baseman to field it. There's no one at third. Your guy gets there. But with that will play, and it's run to perfection. In this case, it was a 1-0 count. The 0-0 pitch, Stott, show bunt. And to me, I was telling Scraby this before the game, they showed that they were going to run the wheel on the first pitch. That was a ball. But typically, we see teams show it the first pitch to kind of get you thinking about it.
And then
they don't put it on again. And all of a sudden, it's a two-strike count. Now you got the pressures on you. You get a bunt down.
And it is. I mean, we're talking about that. And we should, because it was a huge play. And it helped them win the game.
By the way, if not for that play, the bullpen would have done what the bullpen has done all year.
Yeah, you're right. But Freddie Freeman also, on the last play, Edmonds spikes the throw. This would have gone down as one of the biggest errors in postseason history on Tommy Edmonds' record, because he had all day to get the guy out. Even though it's Trey Turner, I know he's fast, it was a hard ground ball. So he had plenty of time, a short throw, and he spikes it. And Freddie Freeman backhands it and digs it out, and the game's over. Because if that bounces past him, obviously it is a tie game again. And Tommy Edmond is the GOAT, rather than the Dodgers being ahead 2-0.
A lot of questions circulating now. And, you know, we've been pretty hard. I think everybody's been pretty hard on a lot of teams, the Dodgers included, before they won last year for winning all these games. Philly is putting himself in that conversation too now.
Being a team that is there every year.
Being a team that has a bunch of regular season wins, but has yet to be able to crack the code.
The Phillies' $927 million Big Five, which includes Bryce Harper, Trey Turner,
another great point,
JT Realmuto, Nick Castellanos, and Kyle Schwarber, in order of payroll, are 2-for-26 with 11 strikeouts and 2 walks through 14 NLDS innings.
Chris,
that was during the game.
What did we say at the beginning of this postseason?
As soon as Manny and Fernando went 0-for-7 in the first game, we said, well, it's not good, but if Schwarber and Harper do the same thing, Philadelphia will go home.
That's exactly what's happening right now.
That's exactly what's happening. Meanwhile, Churio big home run, real quick because we're at the bottom, but when the Brewers were here the last week of the season, correct me if I'm wrong, Tony, Churio was the easiest out you've ever seen. The Padres kept throwing him curves off the plate. He swung and got himself out almost. I think he struck out 7 or 8 times the first 2 games of that series.
To be fair.
Now, all of a sudden.
To be fair, the whole lineup looked like that.
Yeah.
No one was getting hits for Brewers.
Right.
But it just goes to show you know, the Padres, they put together a good game plan against. They took, 4 or 6 from them during the season?
And if anybody's looking, because it does look like Dodgers are up 2-0, Brewers are up 2-0, pretty sure Brewers took all 6 from the Dodgers.
They sure did.
All-Star game this year. So I don't know if that means anything, but something
to keep
in mind.
I hope it means something.
I'm telling you, the Dodgers are just... Dave Roberts is just arrogant. He brings Sheehan in. He's got a rookie who's wet behind the ears. He's got Schwarber and Harper as the tying runs, and he says, I'll just leave him in. Every manager in baseball would have gotten a lefty for those 2 hitters. Dave Roberts goes, I'm going to go with my rookie kid who doesn't know what he's doing. And he gets them both out.
Yeah.
So
I cannot see Roki Sasaki saving the World Series for the Dodgers.
So far, so good, Scrape. So far, so good.
I mean, the Dodgers are the biggest fibbers in baseball. All season, Roki's not ready. He needs
honestly,
to work on things.
Literally wasn't ready. He did not pitch in the
I just want to see him cry
year.
Again, okay?
I would not put anything past the Dodgers, even to the point where Blake Snell was perfectly healthy all year and just lying getting sun on an island somewhere.
I believe
saving
that,
saving up his strength to pitch in September.
No, I kind of agree with this. Because
Blake Snell looks unbeatable now. But for some reason, in May and June and July, couldn't lift his arm up. I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it. Come on, Tony. Come on.
Come on. Crazy.
All right. We'll take a break. Much more Gwen and Chris. AJ Cassavell is going to be on the show today. Get his thoughts on the Padres and what is going down in the near and off-season future. That's next on Gwen and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Very spirited conversation in here.
Whew.
During the break, 2:37.
Yeah, we got to start selling the commercial time to podcasters so people can watch what we actually talk about during the breaks. Oof,
that's actually the most interesting part of the show.
It probably is.
That was pretty...
Especially when Adam comes in here and he's arguing his points. And
I think we can
here.
Find out. AJ Cassavell is just gonna probably going on vacation now. His season's over. He's probably flying to an island somewhere in the Pacific. He's probably taking Blake Snell's hut.
His hut.
That Blake Snell spent the summer in before he came back to pitch like Sandy Koufax last night. I mean, or maybe to pitch like Blake Snell, because we've seen him do it before.
Cy Young Award.
We have seen him do it.
AJ Cassavell will join us shortly. We'll get his thoughts on where the Padres go from here. Maybe he thought the letter to the fans had some subliminal messages in there.
Into that letter.
Okay, now we're saying subliminal messages.
That's what you guys were making. Or that's what you said everybody else was saying.
Yeah, I mean...
Is that not subliminal? What were you trying to say?
That's not subliminal.
Okay.
I think we're just trying to extrapolate.
Extract stuff out of there?
I mean, the season ended in such a way that people are still asking questions, and so we're trying to figure out what's going on and what's behind the things that he wrote.
There were things that who wrote?
John Seidler.
Oh, John Seidler.
To all the Padres fans.
Well,
said that
AJ
they're
going to
take a good look at everything. And
AJ Cassavell will have some thoughts, I'm sure. He always does. Still rain delay, if anybody's wondering.
Yeah, they had the...
They really haven't even announced when they're going to start this game. The Mariners and Tigers game 3.
Yeah, they had us fooled there for a second.
Fox put up the replay of game 2 and was like, wait a minute.
Real quick, before we move on. Scraby's getting AJ on the phone as we speak.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
yeah, you don't need to tell the listeners that he's getting AJ on the phone. They can all hear him.
We're in the same room.
You know what?
Just like yesterday when me and you were having the conversation when he was doing the live read.
Oh, that was annoying. You guys are like, "Hey, well, let me see your phone. I'm going to check out some pictures." And it's like, guys, I'm in the middle of something right here.
All
right,
let's bring on AJ Cassavell. He's probably being a dad somewhere. I hope he had a good Saturday because it. Very, very well may not have
He
been
only
as
agreed
great.
To come on if we didn't talk about Saturday, I thought.
Hi, AJ. How are you, sir?
Hey.
Yes, the Padres elimination allowed me to be there to witness that debacle.
Did you go to the game? I thought about you.
I went to the game, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, well, that's good. You could yell at James Franklin in person. It probably felt a little better as a Nittany Lions
You know what?
Fan.
I had a good time. The tailgates were fun. The game was miserable, but I had it's a day out at the Rose Bowl. That
good for
fine,
you.
I guess.
Good for you.
All right, AJ. We've all had a few days to kind of recover from the hurtful loss out in Chicago. I mean, you've already kind of touched on it in the article today about some of the things the Padres have to address. First, I mean, what were your thoughts how the whole thing ended?
Yeah, I think it came down to them not being able to score. And that was kind of the thing for most of the season. Yeah. Like, and whenever the games kind of felt big, whenever it felt like they had a chance to maybe make a move in the division or some of the games at Dodger Stadium, it was just a challenge to score. And I don't think, I do think maybe some of the emphasis on the Padres' lack of power is a little overblown just because teams can win without being extremely proficient in the home run. Like, look at what the Brewers are doing right now. I think they're like 22nd in the league. But the Padres needed more power. They needed more power than 28th in the league in home runs. Yeah. And they have guys that should be able to provide that. And those bats went ice cold in the biggest moments. You can talk a lot about the pitching, and a lot of people have. I know that I know there's been discussion of Yu Darvish in Game 3, and I know there's been discussion of like what to do with the bullpen and how they deployed it. Like, the fact is they scored 5 runs across 3 games, and that's not good enough. That's not going to win you a wild card series. And there's reasons behind that. There's reasons which I'm sure the Padres will look to address this offseason. There's reasons I'm sure the Padres will look to hope to change kind of internally. A lot of these guys you would maybe expect more from in those spots that didn't deliver. And so here we are entering the offseason with a team that couldn't quite get it done offensively in the biggest moments.
Yeah, it's so disappointing, especially coming off the heels of, you know, how last year ended, AJ. And
yeah.
I just, you know, I wonder, you know, is this, if it happened, you know, fool me once type of thing. It happens once, you say, well, you know, it was just a one-off. I mean, we just had a, you know, rough time. But then second year in a row, something similar happened. So does that mean it's philosophy, or does it mean the players they have or whatever, not clutch, can't rise to the occasion? I mean, how do you honestly even judge that or figure that out if you're an organization?
Yeah, I think the comparison to last year is, like, last year was a little different in the sense that that team hadn't done that all year. That team had not gone quiet offensively all year. I've made the point that it was the best offense in Padres history in 2024, and then they went ice cold in the postseason. Like, if you want to write that off, or if you want to say, wow, that's just incredibly unfortunate timing, or they faced some excellent pitchers, all of those things can be true. But then you look at what this season was, and this season was not last year's offense. This season was us spending the entire summer wondering when that offense was going to fully click, and they dealt with injuries, and they dealt with guys in and out of the lineup, and then obviously the trade deadline like made that offense as proficient as it should have been, and then they lost Ramon Laureano. There's a lot of mitigating factors there, but the fact of the matter is, like, this team did not perform offensively like it should have for most of the season, particularly against quality opposition, and then got to the postseason and it didn't change. Like, it was still the same kind of what we had seen. And so is it philosophy? Is it personnel? I think the answer is yes. I don't think, I've said this a couple times now, I don't think the philosophy needs a complete overhaul. I just think it needs a tweak maybe to focus or to tap into that slug a little bit, because there are some, for Fernando Tatis Jr., for instance, there are some very good things he did this year in terms of his plate discipline, his approach, his ability to get on base. If you can marry that with his ability to hit 40 homers, which we have seen him do, I think that's the goal. So I don't think that takes an overhaul. I think it might take another piece or two in the off season if you can find one or two more Gavin Sheetses. I know how hard that is. Like, Gavin Sheets was a major success story this season. But guys with a little bit more slug to kind of fill in a couple of those spots lower in the lineup, and then you pair that with a little bit of a philosophical change. It's all so much easier said than done, but yeah. I think that's the path forward.
Or one little piece added, and then everybody else do what they were expected to do this year in terms of the power, right? I mean, that's, you kind of hit on it earlier.
Yeah.
Some of the guys didn't quite get to the levels that we've seen them get to in the past. AJ, I want to ask you a little bit about Yu Darvish. You mentioned him in terms of pitching game three. I mean, I know it's impossible for you to know, but what does your gut think? What do you think? Have we seen the last of Yu Darvish?
It's a 50-50 proposition for me. Like, maybe not 50-50. That's the wrong way to say it, because I would lean toward Yu Darvish being back, guessing. But I think the fact that he alluded to the idea of, like, I have a decision to make, I haven't thought about that yet, in his post-game interview on Thursday, like, that at least tells us that there's a decision that he knows is coming.
Right.
So it's something he's going to have to think about, and I wouldn't expect him to make the decision instantly. He's a very thoughtful person, and he will ruminate on that decision. I think there is – I also don't know the status of his elbow. I think he pitched through some stuff with that elbow inflammation, and part of what he did this summer in terms of basically missing the first half of the season was to preserve the health of that elbow. What does he need to do to be himself, to take care of that injury, and to be the version of himself we saw in September and October 2024? If he thinks he can become that guy, if he thinks that the elbow is not an issue to getting back to that form, I think he'll be back. If he thinks it is going to be a challenge, I don't know. I don't know what the future holds. Obviously, he has three more years left on his contract. I think $16 million owed to him next season. There are luxury tax implications and all of this. There's a lot to kind of sift through. But ultimately, it's Yu Darvish's decision, and I don't know the answer. And I don't know if he knows the answer at this point.
AJ Cassavell does the Padres stuff for MLB.com and is always gracious with his time on this program. I guess the acting mouthpiece or owner for the Padres, John Tsai, mouthpiece sounds like a negative connotation. I don't mean it to be. But he wrote something to the fans, and I'm sure you read it, AJ, and some of it talked about how, this wasn't good enough. We got to figure it out. We got to get better. We got to make some changes. A lot of people ran away with that and said that means changes in the front office, the manager. Is that even something the fans should be running away with, or what you read, did you just say changes in the way they go about, approaching, attacking and scoring runs?
Yeah, I wouldn't run away with anything from that statement, because to be honest, it read to me pretty much like a disappointed end of season statement.
Yeah.
Like they always read.
Right.
And so they're disappointed. They need to get to the root of the cause for the disappointment, and then they'll make changes, and those changes could be, like, we don't know. We don't know whether they're small changes, whether they're big changes. We will wait and find out, and maybe find out in the soonish future. But the statement, to me, read like a disappointed end-of-season statement like it usually does. And we got several of those from Peter Seidler through the years when the Padres' seasons weren't as good as what they envisioned. To answer your question, I don't think it's smart to run away with any notions of who might be gone after this, but I do think it leaves the door open for a potentially interesting offseason without making any declarative statements from what we read from John Seidler.
AJ Cassavell joins us, MLB.com, covers the Padres during the course of the season. And AJ, we got our second season of Jackson Merrill, finished second in Rookie of the Year his first season. This year, he finished with about 114 fewer at-bats due to, missed time due to injury. What did you come away with after year two of Jackson Merrill?
Yeah, he had to learn how to grind, because last year he really didn't go through any prolonged slumps and he didn't deal with any of the injuries that I think, like, if you play baseball long enough, you're going to deal with, because you're playing every single day and you're putting your body on the line every single day. And that's also the way he plays. So I kind of came away with it impressed with his resolve and impressed with his mettle, even though his numbers weren't the same and he didn't put up the same number of at-bats. I look at him as one of those guys, like, how does this offense get more slug? I think there's more for Jackson Merrill to tap into, and I think he would be the first to say so. And I also think that he would be the first to say that like, this year didn't go the way he wanted it to go. And so, but internal improvements, I am expecting a big year three from Jackson Merrill, just based on knowing him, based on seeing his trajectory, based on the fact that, like, those injuries weren't exactly, like, anything to do with Jackson Merrill's routine or anything. Right, they were mostly fluke injuries. And so I'm looking toward 2026 with Jackson Merrill on board now for 9 more seasons. Like, this is a year for him to kind of take a step forward, because this wasn't the year he wanted to have, and it wasn't the year health-wise that he foresaw having. But I also think that, like, I came away a little bit impressed with the way he handled that, with the way he brought himself back to being the kind of guy the Padres needed him to be down the stretch and into October. He had a decent wild card series, as much as you can say for anyone on that offense. And I guess to recap his season, like, not good enough, and I think he would say so, and also very unfortunate with injuries, but it leaves me in a place where I go into 2026 expecting him to take a leap forward.
AJ, appreciate the time. I want to slip a couple of quick ones here at you. I want to throw you 4 or 5 names. If you could just out of 1 to 10, 1, no chance, or 10, they're gone. 1, they're staying, no chance, they're going. And I give you a few players. Suarez. 1 to 10, 10 being that you think he'll go somewhere else.
9. I don't think it's likely that he's back. I think I think the bullpen's outstanding already, and I think it's more likely that he declines that option that he has.
How about a rise?
7, I think.
7.
I'm not entirely sure. Arise's market is the one I'm least certain about of all these guys who I'm sure I'm gonna get. But I think it's more likely that he's not back, given what we discussed about the Padres' need for power and maybe a philosophical switch. And they do need a first baseman, though. So maybe 6.5, 7.
6.5. Dylan Cease.
9 or 10.
9 or 10. Okay. You touched on this one, but I had it on my list. AJ Preller. At this point, hard to say, I know, but...
3? Like, three. Or 3 or 4? I think he's probably... Like, it's hard to say, but... and it's interesting to see, like, what happens if there are any extension discussions, given that he would be entering his final season under contract, and that's where a lot of the speculation, I think, comes into play. But I think he's done... I personally think he's done his best work in the last 2 seasons, building some rosters that... 2024 roster was definitely capable of winning a World Series. And I think this last year's roster was too. It just didn't reach that potential, and maybe some of that burden falls on him. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see given kind of where he stands in his contract situation right now.
One last one. I know we're running out of time, but people who think that they're going to blow it all up and go crazy, what number would you put on Fernando Tatis, like being traded and they change the trajectory of everything? Like 0?
1.5.
A half?
Maybe not 0, because you can kind of see why it would make sense theoretically.
Right.
But it's not. It's just so unlikely, because you're making yourself significantly worse if you do that. I don't foresee there being a deal where you're getting back that kind of value to trade away a guy that's that good, who I had on my MVP ballot, who's probably not at the height of his value either, given that he's not coming off his best season. It just seems very unlikely. Even if you could kind of make a case financially and whatnot going forward, 1.5 is what I'll say.
Okay. All right, I got a bonus one before we get out of here.
Bonus.
10 or 1 chances of Penn State getting into the college football playoff?
They still got a chance. I said yesterday, AJ, they got to beat some good teams, though.
Yeah, I mean, they of course still have a chance. I think if you look at, like, kind of where Notre Dame was a year ago, like, no one. Granted, Notre Dame didn't have to go play Ohio State at Ohio State. So the chances are 2 out of 10. Maybe 1 out of 10. I'll give it a 1 in 10 shot. If they beat Ohio State on the road and Indiana at home, that means they're probably rolling, and they'll get in if they do. But I'll just say I haven't seen anything that leads me to believe they will, based on the first, not just the UCLA game, but all the first five games of the season.
See, AJ's a tough critic of his Penn State.
Yeah, he's a Nittany Lion fan. He's a fan, man. That's what fans are. They're tough critics.
All right,
sure.
AJ. Appreciate your time, man, as always.
Thanks, buddy.
Enjoy your time off.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
AJ Cassaville joining us.
Yeah.
Licking his wounds a little bit. But also spitting some hot fire about the Padres.
I agree. And I should mention, and I was supposed to mention, that he joined us via our brand new fan hotline and interview hotline, the David P. Morgan. David P. Morgan. A brother.
David Morgan's a pitcher.
I want to thank the Padre pitcher for sponsoring our interviews. The David P. Shapiro fan hotline. I'm crazy. Facing criminal charges, trust David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys, helping clients regain control. I need to regain control. Since 2010, visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. The good thing for you, David, you're getting a lot more bang for your buck because I keep staying silly stuff like that.
Hey, listen, if Jerry Jones can actually put up his thumb finger, his middle finger, thinking it was his thumb.
Oh,
then you can mix up some names.
Well, you know, we're going to talk about that in the Big Five, but he has been fined by the NFL, and I have no idea about.
I don't know how you can
structure.
Find a guy for saying thumbs up to the Jets fans.
Did you see the thumbs up?
I'm joking.
More Gwynn and Chris on the other side.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.